Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
We're outside the Travel Agency, a cannabis store that's got everyone buzzing.
I've been to dispensaries all over the United States, but I've never seen one this unique.
So nice. Amazing vibe.
Some of the best customer service I've had in a store.
Blows my expectations out of the water.
Come down to the Travel Agency and see for yourself. For use only by adults age 21 and older. Keep out of reach of children and pets. In case of accidental ingestion or overconsumption, contact the National Poison Control Center. Consume responsibly.
Welcome everyone to episode 282 of the NBA podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and today we are going to talk about the Houston Rockets protest of Tuesday night's game. And then we're going to play a little contender or pretender since we are at the quarter mark of the season. We're going to figure out which teams are legitimate title contenders this year and which teams are paper tigers. Before we get into that, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handles, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some five-star reviews. And we're now being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Joining me today, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
You know what, Brian? It's the holiday season, so not doing all that well. I'm very, very grouchy.
Oh, right. I forgot.
I'm not a fan of the holidays. You know that.
I know. I forgot. I always associate like award season with your grinchiness, but yeah, that's right.
I'm grinchy in all kinds of different places. Like Halloween. I mean, look, when my son goes trick-or-treating, my wife is always with him because I don't want no part of that. And then while they're gone, like kids, you know, ring my doorbell. I make sure that the lights are off. Like I'm doing the whole, basically the Brian Windhorst thing. I just ignore everyone coming to the door at that point. Like, no, I'm not going to that. And don't even get me started on the, you know, Valentine's Day, which I just basically call, you know, happy corporate sellout day.
Well, that's true.
But here's the thing about the holidays, right? Like first and foremost, the commercials and like the Christmas stuff and all that, like it starts in freaking late September now.
Yep.
Like it's just way too early. And I'm so over the whole concept of like Christmas gifts because there's this expectations like, oh, I bought you this. Oh, I got you this. Oh, that must have cost you like $200. It did. And this like cost you $15. Like then there's that whole like amount thing, like value perspective. So I have a new take on it.
Okay.
I think what we should do really is just buy ourselves a present because then it fits our price range. And then during like Christmas Eve or whatever, we just sit around and we talk. We tell about this present that we've gotten for ourselves. Like, hey, you know what? I just bought the new Hobbs & Shaw Blu-ray film. I really loved it. And then the guy next is like, yeah, and I just got a new Tesla. It's wonderful. Like each can have their own in their own price range and it fits. Like it's good. And then we don't have to shell out like major money on a ton of presents for all kinds of people. Like, save your money and just buy one gift for yourself. I mean, okay, the kids are an exception.
I was about to say, I think your 8-year-old son might have an issue with this plan, but otherwise.
That's fine. He can get like, you know what? Here you go, son. Have $10. Go crazy in Toys R Us. That's fine.
Yeah.
Which I don't even think exists anymore.
No, I think like we went bankrupt.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Nope. R.I.P. Toys R Us. But like, I think that's the way forward. Then we don't get just caught up in all this, you know, equal stuff in terms of, oh, how much did I buy for or how much did you buy for? Like, it's all dumb and I'm old and cold and it's annoying.
This is why I married a doctor, because one day when she actually makes money, I will not have to worry about this anymore. I'm just going to say, you know what? You work like 3 hours a day now because this is how the medical system is. It's very screwed up. You go worry about all this stuff. I'm going to go play Borderlands 4. We'll be out at that point. Perfect.
on the PlayStation 5, no less. Right, a year. Right. By the way, a year. We're a year away from the PlayStation 5.
Oh, really?
And
oh,
as God. A yeah, and as a 33-year-old man, I'm way too excited.
Yeah, that you. I'm mad at you for telling me that.
Oh, you didn't know?
No, no.
Yeah.
All right, boy. Let's get into. We're going to start with the Houston Rockets because...
Oh, so actual basketball talk now?
Yeah, we at some point.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
On Tuesday night, they lost in double overtime to the San Antonio Spurs, 135-133. Mm-hmm. Early in the fourth quarter, James Harden goes for an uncontested dunk. They're up. The Rockets are up 13 at the time. Flies in, dunks the ball through the basket. I've never seen this before, but just the way... Like, I guess between the momentum that he dunked with and, right. like, the way the ball went through the basket, it, like, got caught in the net, flipped back up, and then hit the rim and bounced off. So,
correct. Almost a double dunk.
Right. Yeah. I know. It would have been cool if it went through the basket again because, first of all, we wouldn't have had an issue. But yep. secondly, so the referees ruled it a no basket. They thought it was basket interference just watching it live. The call was challengeable, but Mike D'Antoni did not do so in the 30-second window. In part, at least D'Antoni says, he didn't have the opportunity to. He was looking for clarification on the rule itself and, like, what the call was. And then by the time he got that clarity, I guess the 30-second window has passed, so they didn't let him challenge it. Long story short, the Rockets are now protesting the results of the game. According to ESPN's Tim McMahon and other reports, at first McMahon was reporting they hoped either the NBA was going to award them a win or just let them replay this final 750 of the game. Now he's saying, okay, they realize the NBA is not going to award them a win. That's stupid. But they do want to replay the final 750 of that game with a 15-point lead. What are your thoughts, Mort?
I mean, look, I think it's all really dumb.
Look, Omar is about to unfollow you so fast.
No, but here's the thing: it's all of it is dumb. Like, mm-hmm. for example, the refs missing that dunk, that was dumb.
Yeah,
like that was so clearly a dunk that counted and shouldn't have been waved off. That right. was just extremely unprofessional. So dumb. What's also dumb in this sense is expecting, you know, an automatic W. Like, I get that they want to, you know, replay it. Like, that seems to be the somewhat fair middle ground on a certain extent. But, I mean, at the end of the day, this boils down to, from the NBA's perspective, I assume, that Mike D'Antoni just did not challenge. Mm-hmm. I think there is a certain element of you snooze, you lose to this. Like, he could have challenged, but I understand the fact that, you know, he's short window to do so, and he was still trying to grasp what the hell happened. So this is where the human element was just a little bit too slow, but yeah. you know, stuff happens. Yeah, I mean, so look, if something else of this magnitude happens, like against, you know, bottom tier teams, like, I don't know, the Golden State Warriors, it's so weird to call them a bottom tier teams, by the way, but right. yeah, and the Hawks. Like, would we really want to see that game be played again? Like, I don't know. It seems a little bit preposterous to me. And at the same time, I know this shouldn't factor in, but for me, it does. Like, mm-hmm. look at the way that the Rockets played that game. Like, they shot 38% from the field. Like, look, Russell Westbrook had a true shooting percentage of 29.9% that game. Like, Harden shot like 29% himself.
Yeah, it was 11 field. Of 38 overall.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, look, sometimes you just get a raw whistle and you're, I mean, yeah. I remember back in the day, Brad Miller, and I don't even remember if he was playing for the Bulls or the Kings at that point. So I just remember Brad Miller hitting a game winner that was waved off, and that was before like the instant replays. Mm. And like the call was on the floor, and when you looked at the replay, like from, you know, the TV angle of it, like clearly he made the basket, mm-hmm. and it should have counted, but it was waved off. And it was like, okay, and on we went. Like,
yeah, right.
The game wasn't asked to be played again. Like, the final possession wasn't asked to be played again. It wasn't asked to turn over the win. I understand why the Rockets would be frustrated about this, especially right. because of that dunk.
Yeah.
But we also have to take into account that if the refs had called that dunk legal, which it was, that was mm-hmm. a mistake on their part, the game would have been played differently.
Right.
Like, we can't assume that the same occurrences would have happened
yeah.
based off of Harden's missed dunk or made dunk in that sense.
Right.
The score makes coaches change game plans.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's all so dynamic.
Yeah.
And I also think at some point, like, going down this road, if that opens the door to something,
yep.
I'm not sure that's a good door to open.
Right. Yeah, I'm completely with you there. I get why the Rockets are frustrated. Like, it's there was a very, very egregiously bad call, and if they really weren't allowed to challenge, hopefully you just found a pain point in the challenge system that improves it for the future. You know, maybe it comes down to, like, okay, you have this 30-second window, but that clock only starts once the referees have huddled, made a call, told the coach what that call is, told them whether it was challengeable. Like, if it's true that D'Antoni was just, like, looking for clarification and didn't even get it until after the window expired, then that seems unfair. I'll grant you that. But as you said, it just seems like such a slippery slope because, you know, teams fall victim to bad call all the time. Like, the Spurs, I'm sure, can point out two calls in that game that went against them erroneously. So are they going to protest the game? Because, you know, there wasn't like a missed or, you know, a made dunk that was missed and that got ruled off. But, like, if a foul was called against them that wasn't actually a foul, is that protestable? Right. Like, I brought this up, you know, when I saw this the other night. Should the Sixers protest the Nuggets game that happened a few weeks ago? Because Nikola Jokic Embiid got called for an offensive foul with 0.9 seconds left. But then in the last 2-minute report, the ref said, oh no, actually it was a foul on Jokic, and Embiid in a 1-point game at the time with 0.9 seconds left should have been sent to the free throw line. Should they protest that? Should the Jazz protest the Lakers game the other night? Because the refs missed an egregious travel from LeBron James in the first mm-hmm. quarter?
Yeah. Like, this is where it just gets bad, right?
Right. And I get it that this is different to some extent. I say that somewhat facetiously because, like, this is literally a ball went through the basket, should have counted. But in the end, it's all still a judgment call, right? It's not like the ref saw it. It was a completely obvious dunk. And they were like, nah, just screw it. We're going to screw over the Rockets a little bit. They thought it was basket interference. It's still a judgment call. They thought the ball got whipped up through the net instead of, you know, it whipped around the basket. But
see, that's what bothers me. This is where I understand Rockets fans. Because mm-hmm. I've seen a couple Rockets fans like just go all in on, like, the physics.
Oh, of course. Of course.
And you know what? I actually agree with them. Because it was like, how can you mistake that as a missed dunk?
Yeah.
How on earth, like, just from a clear, like, physics perspective.
Right.
There's way the ball would end up there if you missed the dunk. It didn't bounce up. Like, when players miss dunks, usually it's because the ball gets caught on the rim and it, like, pops up, like, 5 or 6 feet in the air.
What?
There's
how... The crew chief's explanation was the ball appears to us to pop back through the net. When that happens, that is basket interference. To have a successful field goal, it must clear the net. So I think they thought it got caught in the net and then whipped back up through the basket rather than whipped
around. But that doesn't even make sense. Like, look, you're like, even from their angle,
yeah.
How? So basically Harden would not get enough lift on his jump, so the ball would actually not even clear the rim initially. It would, his entire missed dunk would come from below.
No, like, I think they're saying it went through, but it still has to go through the net entirely to count. So they thought
but it
somehow.
Did.
Yeah, but then it, like, they, I think they thought it went through the basket again instead of around. So therefore, it would have
then
been...
Then that's a rule that... Okay, you know what? I'm glad you clarified that for me, because then I completely misunderstood what they meant. I will say that as much then. The rule needs to change. Like, if it's cleared the rim and it's without your own power, then obviously it's a basket.
Right.
Like, this is like, look, we're all in agreement here. It was a really dumb call.
Yeah.
Absolutely a dumb call.
Like, a really bad break, but in the end, it's the same result. I mean, it's really the same result as that Nuggets Sixers game. Like,
right.
A bad judgment call. You know, as you said too, like, the Rockets still had a 13-point lead against a 7-14 San Antonio Spurs team that we just talked about for 20 minutes the other day, how badly they suck. Don't blow that game. You have two overtimes not to blow that game. Maybe if you want to win that game, don't take 27-foot jumpers at the end of the game when Lonnie Walker catches fire and is hitting, you know, two threes in the final minute of the game. Like, you had plenty of opportunities.
So who on the Spurs listened to our podcast and answered Lonnie Walker?
I know. I'm happy. I was thrilled to see him get some burn. So, yeah, I mean, I understand the Rockets' frustration here, but I just don't – I think it's going to do more harm than good if the NBA it rules in their favor here. Just take the L and move on.
Yeah, I think that's for the best. I understand, like, better playoff positioning and, and all of that. I get it. I mean, but look, let's also just be honest about something. The Rockets love to make, like – a little noise.
Yeah. Well, they just love complaining about officiating. And I don't think that that should be held against them in this extent.
No.
Because, look, I mean, this was an excessively bad call versus just a normal run-of-the-mill, like, you didn't call a foul, whatever, you were, like, erroneously called a travel, whatever. The ball went through the basket, but it's still a judgment call because they thought it was basket interference. So, ultimately, terrible call, worse than a normal run-of-the-mill call. Still a judgment call. Still have plenty of chances to win. Just
how many games would the Lakers have to replay because of LeBron travels?
Right? I mean, it's just such a...
Like, would they have to play the entire season over? Like, start from scratch?
Probably. I mean, every team would have to play every game over. If we're saying bad calls are...
Yeah.
You could... Like, it's just... So
you know what? We can go back to Game 6 of the 1998 NBA Finals then.
let's just redo all of the NBA at this point.
Just, from 1946 and onwards, let's go. A lot of people are dead. Right. So,
but if there was really one bad call in any game, unless it was a perfectly officiated game, let's replay it.
That's going to be time consuming.
So NBA,
but I can't wait to see like a 57-year-old Mitch Richmond just go bananas. That's fun, I guess.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Since we're on the Rockets, we're going to start discussing whether, you know, it's the quarter season mark of this year. So usually by now you can at least suss out who's for real, who's not for real, or like who's aggressively bad. So... Houston Rockets are 14-7. They have the NBA's third best offense. They are fifth in the Western Conference. Do you buy them as a legitimate title contender this year, or do you think they're a playoff team that has little to no chance of winning?
B.
Me too.
And that's not to be, you know, unfair to the Rockets. I still think they downgraded with Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that Chris Paul and James Harden didn't get along, so it's fair that they needed to make a change. I understand all of that. I still, to this day, don't understand why you bring in a ball-dominant non-shooter. Look, he hasn't played well. You were way more optimistic than I was coming into the season about Westbrook.
I just took my victory lap early because I knew this was coming.
But which... I don't even understand. You said that before. There's no victory lap to be taken because he hadn't played well.
He was playing much better at the start of the season.
Yeah, much better, but still he wasn't a guy you could rely on to make shots consistently.
I mean,
at no point this season
over
has he
the
been...
first five games he shot 48.4% from the field. That's all I had. But then let's see, since November 13th, this is gonna be disgusting. So this is the last Rockets' last 10 games. He's right. taking 22 shots a game.
Uh-huh.
He is shooting 34.5% on those shots.
Yeah.
He is also shooting 21.7% from deep and averaging 4.5 turnovers a game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Over the last two games, he has gone 7 of 30. That was in the Spurs double overtime loss.
Yeah.
And then in the win last night over the Raptors, 7 of 27 with 8 turnovers.
There we go.
Yeah.
There's a reason James Harden is averaging 39 points a game.
Out of necessity, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Look, James is doing so much, and he's undoubtedly just a fantastic player.
Mm-hmm.
I just question whether he can take this team far. Yeah. This seems like... Well, okay, maybe that's a bit unfair. I was about to say this seems like an Allen Iverson situation back in 2001.
No, they have more talent than those Sixers.
They did. That's why I'm catching myself. Like, yeah. Clint Capella and, like, Dikembe was... Like, Dikembe was old at that point in time.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Yeah, I think that... You're right. There's more talent. Just Westbrook, in and of himself, is just way more talented. He's just not that productive or helpful at this point.
Yeah. Still better than, like, Eric Snow.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Maybe not defensively, but offensively for sure. But it doesn't help that, you know, Eric Gordon, I know he's out and all that, but mm-hmm. like in the 9 games that he's played, like under 31% from the field.
Yep.
It just seems like this team is kind of, I don't want to say they're bottoming out on talent because that's not the case. Like Ben McLemore, that was apparently hard to say,
mm-hmm.
Has kind of had a good season. He hasn't shot the ball too well, but like he stepped up in crucial moments. Like there is something there.
Yep.
PJ Tucker is just like, I don't know, he's the god of corner threes at this point.
Right. He's just doing the same old PJ Tucker thing that he always does.
Right. Daniel House is doing his thing. Like
he's been
really
good.
Yeah, yeah. No, he has. I think even Austin Rivers looks improved
mm-hmm.
in just in terms of like, you know, he used to be this gunner who came in and just like just chucked up shots played without, you know, any sense of where the offense was. It feels as though he's become a little bit more relaxed in his play.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain elements I like. I just don't see any elements that makes me believe that they're some sort of championship contender, like a real contender.
Yeah.
No.
And James Harden's averaging 37.6 minutes a night. The whole point of bringing Russell Westbrook in, allegedly, was to limit Harden's regular season workload. We are now a quarter of the way through the season, and James Harden is averaging an outrageous number of minutes. Again, it's like Mike D'Antoni has just learned nothing. I think they played, in that double overtime game, it was like they had played 6 guys more than 11 minutes or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I think it would have been different if Gordon had been healthy
sure.
and Gerald Green has been there as well. Like he's out the 6 months to a full year.
So they would have 7 guys. Losses. Like I just don't trust their depth at this point. It just seems like D'Antoni doesn't either.
Which I understand.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Having an owner who isn't deathly afraid of the luxury tax might go wonders here, but alas.
Yeah. That's where they come in short.
Yeah.
No, but no, I mean, at the end of the day, like you and I have spent hours upon hours talking about like big twos, big threes, big fours and all that.
Yeah.
Do you really think right now that the Rockets have a big two? Because I look at them as a big one.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of just like pure raw talent, sure. But I would probably, I would put this big two below, you know, any of the other major contenders.
Yeah.
Definitely below Lakers, definitely below the Clippers, below Milwaukee, even though, I mean, like, I pick your second Milwaukee player. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess you could argue Denver's, but that's just such a, like, more deeper team.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and my point with this is I don't think you can win with a big one.
Yeah.
In today's league. Well, I think especially ultimately if it
wears down again.
Oh man. I think that would be so rough because I understand that James is not everyone's cup of tea because mm-hmm. of his playing style mm-hmm. and all the fouls and all the threes and all that. But what he's doing is special.
Yeah.
And I would want to see that in the playoffs.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. I have no doubt that they're going to be a playoff team. And if it's a Mavericks-Rockets series in the first round, that's probably going to be the most fun matchup you can have. But I don't think they have any chance of beating the Lakers or the Clippers. Like
they won't even get there if they meet the
Mavs. Yeah.
The Mavs.
Right. I mean, it feels like the second round is their ceiling this year.
Yeah. And it's really a shame that it didn't work out with Chris because, like, theoretically, he would be the perfect player to put alongside James. Like, you mm-hmm. and I loved that the trade back in the day. And back in the day, a couple years ago. And initially, like, the results were very, very good. Yeah. And then it was just the relationship that deteriorated. Right.
Remove the chemistry issues, and it's a great fit. Like, the on-court talent and skill set fits very well together. But
right.
Unfortunately, personalities also are a factor here.
Right, and now you have personalities that mesh, but where the games just don't fit.
Right.
It's... And ultimately, I still believe in the games, incompatible games instead of compatible personalities. Like, these guys are supposed to be professionals. Mm-hmm. Lord knows, I've worked jobs where I've had to be professional, even though I've despised some of the people I've been working alongside with. You just mm-hmm. need to forget it and move on and, like, do your best to get the job done. So, yeah. I just don't think this comes out very good for the Rockets.
Yeah.
And if it does, like, look, Daryl Morey, dinner's on me.
There we go. We're not going to hit the Jazz. We're going to go through the top six of each conference today. So if your team is not in the top six, sorry. We aren't going to call you a contender until you're better in the regular season. But we're not going to do the Jazz.
Was that a Portland
That was a Portland, a Timberwolves, a Phoenix Suns, whoever. I don't care.
Yeah.
Brooklyn Nets, Orlando Magic. Fine.
Charlotte Hornets, apparently.
Yeah, you'll make the playoffs. We'll talk about you, but not in a contender pod because none of you are contenders. We are also – the Jazz are sixth in the West, but we spent 20 minutes on them on Tuesday, so we're going to skip right over them. I think both of us – it's fair to say we trust – we believe in their talent. Right now, they don't look like contenders. There's still a long season left. Maybe they get there, but right now they are not playing well enough to be considered contenders, I think.
They are in contender purgatory.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So let's jump right to the Mavs, Mort. 15-6, fourth in the West, have the league's best offense. Luka is an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
Third best net rating, even. Kristaps has not played particularly well, which is even scarier, because if he does get back into form, all of a sudden you have two superstars instead of one. But at this point, it hasn't mattered. Because Luka is the walking 30-point triple-double. So,
yeah,
how are you feeling about their championship odds?
They're 9-1 over the past 10 games. And every single time we think Luka can't duplicate what he's done, he does it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that I've just said about the Rockets that I don't think a big one can win the championship. And I don't think the Mavs are going to win the championship.
Mm-hmm.
But... this is a different type of team, though, because, you know, Porzingis, I get that he's like the second fiddle, but he's not a big two there because he's not delivering as a with him right. and Doncic as a big two. Like, right, he's right, shooting 39.5% from the field, for crying out loud.
Yep.
But the entire structure of the team is built around Doncic to such an extent where I'm going to make an exception and actually call them a contender.
Mm-hmm.
And by saying that, I realize that I just said that I don't think they're going to win, but that's a different story. I do think that they are, you know, a team that could find their way to the conference finals.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. It's just the way this team is structured. They have guys who know their roles, and there seems to be a very established, well-established pecking order. There seems to be an acceptance of that pecking order. Mm-hmm. Like, Tim Hardaway Jr. Has benefited greatly from Luka. I had some stats when I wrote a Luka piece recently. But ultimately, like, Tim was just getting so many shots from, or so many passes from him, and shot very, very well on shots that he took off of Luka passes. And, you know, in New York and Atlanta, he constantly wanted, like, a big role, and, like, he was just gunning to get his, you know, his numbers up and all that. Like, yes, there's still some gunning element here, but it's more under control than ever before. Mm-hmm. DeLon Wright is doing very well off the bench. Seth Curry seems to be coming on a little bit more. Jalen Brunson, I like what he's offering. I think he should play more, more than 16 minutes anyway. There's just a lot to like. Maxi Kleber's much improved, even though his stats won't necessarily reflect that. Like, you're looking at a guy who's averaging 8.6 rebounds. Usually that's somewhat pedestrian, but, like, he's rim running, he's hitting threes, he's making really good passes, by the way. That's not been talked about enough. Dorian Finney-Smith is slowly, I feel like, becoming this era's Trevor Ariza. Like, the three ball just needs to go up a little bit. Sometimes he takes them out of control. I watched a lot of Mavs this season, and look, they're hitting on all cylinders. They have a great coach. There's patience about every guy there. It's something just works, and because of that, I trust them.
I'm not quite there. I think their ceiling for me would be conference finals, which is nothing to sneeze at coming into the year. That, you know, they were a fringe playoff team. So, like, they look like a very clear playoff team at this point. It comes down to matchups, I think. I don't believe they could beat the Clippers in a 7-game series.
That's the one team I don't think anyone can beat in a 7-game
series. Right, which, I mean, to some extent, you could argue that no team is a contender other than the Clippers. But I think we'll get to the Lakers shortly. I could at least see that being more competitive than, you know, just because the Clippers in particular have so many different types of bodies they can throw at Luka, having Kawhi and Paul George who can both stymie him, and then if those guys aren't on, you could still put on Patrick Beverley, Mo Harkless. That worries me, because Luka is just so clearly the head of this snake that if you slow him down, you know, I don't think Porzingis, at least the Porzingis we've seen so far, is the type of guy who can take over. And, you know, that's where any team will have an advantage over the Clippers, is if you have a giant front court. But the Mavs don't really have that. You're not going to, like, be posting up Kristaps Porzingis 15 times a game. Or you shouldn't be, at least.
Yeah.
So, I like the Mavs. I was totally wrong on the Mavs this year. I just did not trust their supporting cast enough. And they've been really, I mean, those fears to some extent have played out. Like, there isn't a third guy averaging 15 plus points a night, but, like, you know, coming into the year, I said maybe that didn't matter. Like, maybe they're just going to have a different guy every night doing it. Like, Seth Curry got super hot the other night. Great. I also didn't see Luka turning into this already. So,
no.
You know, if Luka can sustain this, they're totally going to make the playoffs. They're going to be one of the most fun teams to watch this year. Contender, still, I think they're still one piece short of legitimate contender, and maybe it just means Kristaps getting back to his old self, and there's still plenty of time for him to do that. I'm not there as contender yet, but again, compared
to preseason, maybe we should. Then what is a contender for you? Because look, if it comes down to, like, a realistic shot at the title, then I only have two contenders on my entire list.
Oh, I have more than that.
No, I think this is going to be the Clippers and Bucks. And that's it. Like, in the finals, I don't see any scenario wherein it's not.
I think there are teams that can beat both of those teams. I don't think it's especially likely, but I could not see the Mavericks winning a 7-game series against the Clippers.
Then my definition of contender is the potential of making the conference finals.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or because even the finals.
More fun.
I mean,
yeah, well, that's two for me. Pending health, of course.
Yeah. You don't think any team in the West could beat the Clippers?
No, man. Have you seen that team?
I know they're really good, but like
the talent, yeah. The defense. Like, no, I don't. Look, I was on the Clippers as soon as that crazy night in July happened.
Yeah, both of
I
us
told
were.
You right off the bat. I think the first DM I sent you after you woke me up about it was like, this team could win 65 games and breeze its way to the finals.
Right.
I haven't you know, stepped off of that at all.
No, I mean,
They're so good. They still, like, what was it? I don't know if they had their first practice, but after 21 games.
Oh, right. Yeah, they still hadn't. Kawhi and Paul George hadn't practiced yet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't think anyone in the West, at least, maybe not even the East. The Milwaukee, though, they're so dangerous. But in the West, no, I don't see anyone coming out of top on the Clippers. Mm. None whatsoever.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, let's go to the Denver Nuggets then, because I guess Do you at least have them as a potential conference finals team?
Yeah, they're a contender in that sense. Absolutely. Okay. Slightly concerned about their lack of three-pointers. This was a team that really loved the three.
Mm-hmm.
Not really getting to the line a whole lot either. Let me just read some stats for you. The 24th in three-pointers attempted a game and 26th in free throw attempted a game. Yet they're right there because of their defense somehow, which is really weird to talk about Denver in the sense that they have a great defense, but they do. Mm-hmm. This was a team that usually struggled mightily defensively and were just like trying to ungun their opponents.
Right.
So there's this whole theory about three-point defense that it doesn't really exist. What you really have to do is just disallow the shot. I think to some extent that's true. But on the other hand, if you have a shooter who's somewhat open or semi-consistently open and you can run out to him and just block his vision or whatever, mm-hmm. you do have some sort of potential to affect the shot. So I'm not entirely on board with it, but I understand where the theory comes from. Right now, the Nuggets are allowing 30.6% from downtown after 19 games.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That is huge. That leads the league, by the way.
Yeah.
Also leading the league for them defensively, 101.4 points, against from opponents.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the Nuggets I was expecting.
No.
But it's very intriguing nonetheless. It's also very necessary because, you know, Gary Harris and Nikola Jokic have not exactly set the world on fire.
Yeah, how worried are you about Jokic? Because all of the Nuggets guys I follow on Twitter, TJ McBride, a friend of the pod, Adam Aris, Ryan Blackburn, have expressed some to a ton of concern about him. He is, you know, you look at his per game numbers and his points are down, but he's still averaging 10 rebounds, 6 assists a game. So you wouldn't necessarily think something is off, but then you just watch him.
Mm.
And I'm not going to go into the, like, Nikola Jokic is fat, out of shape stuff. Like, no. You know, whatever. I do wonder if he is a little bit worn down because he had the long playoff run, then went right to the FIBA World Cup, then went right into the season. Like, he didn't have a full offseason to recover, especially, right. You know, this was the longest playoff run he's been on. So I do wonder if that is a factor to some extent.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, are you worried about him at all moving forward? Do you think this is just, like, regular season load management where he's just kind of going to loaf through games and saving himself for the playoffs? Or do you think it's a sign of something more of an issue?
No, I think I'm not worried whatsoever. Here's the thing. We're all human being with emotions and feelings and all that. And we can experience, you know, periods of time where we're maybe less engaged in our work or whatever. Like, sometimes, you know, I need to take a couple days off from just watching the basketball, honestly. And then I take a couple days where I basically just box score watch and then, you know, watch some highlights or the condensed games because I just don't feel I have the stamina to watch a full game for some reason. Like, it happens. Sometimes you just need to check out a bit and do something else. I think for Jokic, he's just a human being who's maybe going against some fatigue and maybe some, you know, some mental fatigue, I should say, where he's just trying to figure out, okay, look, it's been a long year. I'm tired. This is, like, this regular season may not be as, like you said, maybe not be as fun anymore. Like, maybe just some struggles. Like, he's still a young person.
Right.
Young people, you know, go through a lot of emotions, and it's not just reserved for teenagers. Like, I remember in my 20s, I was a mess too, and you can absolutely have that. I think more players experience that, and we never talk about it like it's a part of life. We talk about what's wrong. This is, right. Has to be basketball related. No, it could be life related.
Well, look at Kyrie.
I don't think we should, like with Kyrie, I mean, you know, we all laugh at Kyrie for the flat earth thing, right. But the guy clearly, you know, is very in tune with his emotions, with, you know, all respect in the world to that.
Yeah.
That, you know, more people should be that. That's
right.
Healthy.
Right.
And for Jokic, you know, when I see all the the body language experts on Twitter.
Or just the body experts, the physical fitness experts.
Yeah, that's not great either. But I mean, I understand where they're coming from. Like, for beat writers especially who see him every single game, and if they see, you know, something is off with him, I trust that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it necessarily has to do with, you know, anything that's maybe, you know, something that, like, his future in Denver or something like that.
Right,
I don't
right.
think it's because he's considering something else. He's just a guy, a young guy, who may be going through a couple of things, like personally, or just is tired or whatever. So, yeah, I'm worried in the sense that I don't necessarily think that it's automatic that he's going to find himself this year and return to last year's production level.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not at all concerned about him returning to Nikola Jokic form.
Yeah.
Like, next season, he probably should be all up and running.
Yeah, I mean, I still believe in the Nuggets. I think there is a dark horse road for them to make the finals. I don't think it's especially likely. But if you're making me pick a team outside of L.A. that could make the finals in the West, it's the Nuggets. Because, I mean,
I could see that, yeah.
The glass half full version of this is you haven't gotten the best version of Jokic. You haven't gotten the best version of Gary Harris. You haven't gotten much of anything from Michael Porter Jr., and you're still, you know, have the third best record in the West.
Yeah.
Like, that's a pretty, or sorry, second best record.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, fair enough. That's pretty significant. I misread that, too.
Yeah.
Malik Beasley is someone who's also not going to be on the roster come playoff time, I think, because, you know, he turned down a contract extension, and he's going to be a restricted free agent, and it seems like because of the somewhat weak free agency class in 2020, you know, there's going to be a Brink truck available for him.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if they packaged him with someone else. Like, TJ McBride and I have spoken several times about how the Nuggets really need a consolidation trade.
Mm-hmm.
And the primary target there was always going to be Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
But since he signed his extension, that's out of the window. So yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if the Nuggets decided to switch things up at a trade deadline.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, begin a rebuild or anything, but right, I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple of, you know, steady pieces go out. Like maybe Gary Harris is involved. Yeah. You know, maybe you actually go all in and you send out Gary Harris, Monte Morris, Malik Beasley, and Michael Porter in the hopes of getting like a legitimate star in. Maybe that's what they're going for. And I have no idea. This is just all speculation, of course. Mm-hmm. But I don't think this is going to be the Nuggets roster that we see in the playoffs.
I agree with that. Let's hit the Los Angeles Lakers, who we touched on Tuesday, so we don't need to go too far in, but we were saying how they hadn't really played all that many good teams. This upcoming stretch was going to be instructive. Then they go out and beat the Nuggets and then annihilate the Jazz on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah, I mean, they proved it. I mean, we were saying all the time, like, they're probably capable of it. We just need to see it, and they did, and Jared Dudley decided to rub it all in our faces afterwards on Twitter, so it was all good.
Right.
I mean, the Lakers are obviously very, very good. I still think, much like your concern with Dallas, just, of course, to a lesser extent, they don't have the third guy.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, Davis and James account for way more than Porzingis accounts for right now, so I understand that. But they're a contender for sure. Mm-hmm. I think it would be foolish not to count them as a contender.
Yep.
I still think they're a solid level away from the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to call them fool's gold because that would be ignorant.
Yeah.
But I do think that we are reaching a level right now where we are overestimating the Lakers to a point where we're crowning them a bit too soon. Like, I could totally see a scenario where they come, you know, they make it to the conference finals or just like make it to wherever they are going to meet up with the Clippers and bring them a hell of a series. But they are not that deep.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still concerned about their lack of three ball. I'm still concerned about their lack of free throw shooting. I'm still concerned about a lot of things that needs to somehow be adjusted. But as long as you have LeBron and Davis both healthy, they're always going to be a major, major threat regardless of who you are, obviously. Like, even the Clippers will have to game plan very, very intensely towards those two, of course.
I mean, Anthony Davis has been phenomenal this year.
Like, yeah, just absolutely.
Absolutely. Like, a two-way tour de force. I mean, you could argue he is possibly the leading contender for Defensive Player of the Year right now.
I mean, I wouldn't go against that.
Yeah, right. He's at least in that conversation, as he said he wanted to be heading into the season.
LeBron, grab just a few more defensive rebounds then.
Yeah, well, yeah. But you're...
No, I'm just saying this is the second lowest rebound rate of his career.
Right. Well, he's playing next to LeBron James, who happens to grab a few of them on his own.
That's true, but the Lakers as a whole, like, ranks 15th.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. I think you're right that there's still a, like, if you're making me pick Clippers or Lakers today, I'm picking the Clippers, and I'm not really going to budge from that all that much. But I do hope that the Lakers can avoid the Clippers side of the bracket, because I want this to be, I would hate for that to be like a second round series, or God forbid a first round series. Like, I do think these are the two best teams in the West.
Mm. Well, I mean, so I hear you on that, but if it becomes a conference finals matchup, like we talked about, you know, the benefit of, you know, a Lakers-Clippers series, how no one would travel,
mm-hmm.
then that's going to be a pretty weird final series.
Mm.
Like, because whoever moves on have just basically a major advantage.
Chilling at home for 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But I understand what you're saying, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know who I'm going to pick in terms of like being the second best team in the West, like who I think are going to make the conference finals outside the Clippers in a potential Lakers-Denver series. I could probably see it go either way, but they just have this firepower in the top two.
Right.
LeBron is a guy who can win, you know, three games by himself.
Right.
And he does seem motivated this year, so this it matters.
Yeah.
Like, he's actually playing defense. It's very weird.
I know.
I just wonder, like, do you think that it's going to last?
Yeah.
The defense thing when he's going to turn 35?
Yeah. I think I think that time off did a lot of good for him. And I think he knows this team is good and he needs to set an example. Like, if he's
loafing, I hope you're right,
on defense, then he's not going to teach his teammates good habits. So I think he realizes, like, this team, they might not be the title favorite or the title favorite, but they are a contender, and he actually needs to put forth effort in the regular season accordingly.
I hope you're right. Yeah. I mean, because he's so much more fun to watch as well when he's engaged.
Yeah, for sure. And we've already hit the Clippers enough with our conversation over the rest of these teams, but I think it's safe to say we both consider them a clear contender, if not the overall favorite in the NBA right now.
Yeah. I mean, I absolutely love them. Yeah. I've said as much over the last couple of months. I think they have everything. And, you know, I know that every time I say that, you kind of point out their lack of, you know, big man depth. Mm-hmm. But I can't help but notice that it doesn't seem like they make it all that big of a priority because, you know, Subac is playing just 16 minutes a ball game.
Right.
So I don't think they really need it. And he's actually extremely productive. Yeah. Like, he's averaging 8 points and 6.4 rebounds and one block a game in 16 minutes. Like, you know, when you just look at the raw numbers, those are perversely good.
Yeah, you're right. It really might not. I mean, Montrezl Harrell has been playing so well, it really might not matter. And if that's, you know, every team has a flaw, and that's where the playoffs come down to matchups. Like, if your strength corresponds with your opponent's weakness, but the Clippers' strength is just so overwhelming that it really might not matter. Like, just having, like, Paul George has been nuclear from three this year. Much like he was last year before the shoulder injuries.
Yeah, no, he's even increased it even more. He's played 11 games, and he's hit 44 threes.
Yeah. He's turned into the third Splash Brother.
Yeah. Also in California, of course.
Of course.
That's, if you want to shoot well, in California you go. Yeah, that's apparently a rule.
Yep.
The thing that surprises me a little bit here is they're so good, but Kawhi hasn't really been, like, you know, uber efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his true shooting percentage is 53.6, which is actually below league average. Yep. He's not shooting all that well from the field or the three. But when he's playing in the games, like, his presence is just so undeniable.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, he's such a weird player as well as so awesome because, you know, the stats, they come in as a secondary thing. Like, they don't really matter. He just has a way of affecting the game however he wants to. And if he's not shooting well, oh well, he'll find a way. And when you have a guy like that, and you pair him with Paul George, and you have Lou Williams off the bench, who is just averaging 21 and 6 assists, getting to the line 7 times, and you have, like, sharpshooters in Landry Shamet, you have Jamichael Green, who can both shoot from the outside, who can rebound, who can play the big positions. You have Rodney McGruder, who you can put in a pinch. Subac, as well, as already mentioned. Patrick Patterson. Like, you have so many weapons you can go to all the bloody time. And that's, I didn't even mention Patrick Beverley, who is one of the best perimeter defenders in the entire league. Like, it's, like, Mo Harkless as well, like, coming off the bench. They keep throwing bodies at you.
Yeah.
And in the playoffs, just, you know, if you win the bench matchup, you look pretty golden.
Yep.
And I can't imagine the Clippers not winning, you know, any bench matchup. Like, they should win that every single game.
Right.
And then when you have the guys that they do in the starting lineup, it's, I have a hard time seeing anyone beat this team. Yeah. I really do.
No, I do too. I think they're about as perfectly designed as I could imagine. Like,
right. And I know that people are pointing out, well, if that's the case, why don't they have the league's best record? Because it just takes a little bit of time to gel. And look, they're doing it. I mean, they've been really good. 16-6 in the Western Conference, that's not bad.
Yeah, Paul George missed
that's
a ton
not
of time.
Bad at all.
Kawhi is getting load managed. They were never going to have the league's best record, but we said coming into the season they're going to be the best team. And I've seen nothing.
I still think they can, though. I still think they can finish number one.
It's possible, but either way, it doesn't matter. They're, like,
right.
Their record is not going to be indicative of whether they're the best team. They are the best team. If they finish with the best record, great. But just because Kawhi is going to get load managed to some extent, and Paul George missed some time already, who knows if he might miss a little more time? Who knows? their depth is what separates them from every other team.
Yep.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, let's go through the East now quickly. We'll start with the Indiana Pacers. They are 6th in the East, 14-7. Still haven't seen Victor Oladipo. We still don't know, really know when he's coming back, but they've been good even without him. So do you buy them as a potential finals threat?
No.
Unfortunately, I'm with you.
Look, this sounds harsh, but I mean, no. Yeah. Look, Oladipo, when he comes back, is going to have a pretty large, you know, readjustment period getting back into the swing of things, which is completely understandable. That's sure. Not, I mean, that's just natural. And Malcolm Brogdon, to his credit, has looked so good. I mean, 19-8-5 per game is just ridiculous. You know, DeMontis Sabonis 18-13 and almost 4 assists. TJ Warren is doing his thing, which, you know, we're kind of expected. Like he's giving them this, you know, 4/3-man production, like hitting long shots and getting to the rim. And, you know, I like their team. I really do. But there's just a ceiling there unless you have a fully healthy Oladipo. And I you know, he might be fully healthy, but I don't think he's going to be fully reacclimated.
Yeah.
And that's a difference.
Yeah. And I know you're going to be mad about Miles Turner, who has still not taken a huge step forward offensively, even in Oladipo's absence.
Man, you heard me before the season. I actually tried to be optimistic. I said I was back on it. I wanted to support him. I felt like I had been, you know, gone out on him a little bit too soon.
Mm-hmm.
Guess not, man.
You're back out.
No, not necessarily back out. I'm just disappointed that we're not seeing more from him.
Yeah.
Still a great defender. Yep. That's the one thing I never want to take away from him, especially in terms of shot blocking. Still not the greatest rebounder. I understand that Sabonis is taking 13 a game, so that limits his chances. But even before, you know, the Sabonis era, he was never a dominant rebounder, mm-hmm. even though he has every physical advantage to be that. Even three ball, like he knocks it down at almost a 40% rate, and I'm just wondering why he doesn't take more.
Mm-hmm.
he seems to be such a steady shooter. It's just he confuses me. I think this is one of those guys who could be so much better than what he is, and in 20 years' time, we're gonna be looking back at him going, "Oh, what if? Mm-hmm. What if he was just a little bit more aggressive?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. I do not buy this team as a contender, although I like them a lot, and I sure as hell would not want to face them in the first round. Godspeed, too.
I agree with that. Like I agree with that, and they have a lot of weapons.
Yeah.
They're a fun team to watch.
They make getting a top two seed in the East imperative for whichever. Like, Milwaukee's going to get one of them. Then there's, like, this, like, four-way logjam between Boston, Miami, Toronto, and Philly. Not having to face the Pacers in the first round or not having to face one of those other teams is the reason you actually go all out and try to get a top two seed, because you're going to have a hard first round matchup otherwise.
Absolutely. Completely agree.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, look, this is a team, right, where we can really talk about them understanding, you know, how to adapt, I want to say. Like, last year, they were, like, a defensive-oriented team primarily.
Yeah.
And just having that additional offensive balance now, I mean, they could be dangerous in a first round series. Absolutely. Like this, like if they met up with like the Sixers, oh man. Yeah. I mean, I could see them giving the Sixers loads of trouble.
For sure. Yeah. I don't think they could, I don't think they can make it out of the East, but I do think they'll be a threat to pull a first round upset. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's go into the Sixers now, because they are fifth in the East after losing to the freaking Washington Wizards last night. They are 15-7.
I'm sure Sixers Twitter was fun last night.
Honestly, it wasn't that bad, because the Cowboys lost, so everyone kind of just danced on their graves instead.
So you have to, you actually have to explain that to me. How does that correlate with one another?
Because the Eagles and the Cowboys are in the same division, and somehow, against all odds, the 5-7 Eagles could still make the playoffs because the Cowboys also suck.
But are the Eagles even a threat to win the Super Bowl again?
No, God no. But knocking the Cowboys out of the playoffs would be pretty hilarious.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm rooting for it, whatever happens. I don't understand football.
Yeah, it's dumb. Sixers do have the fifth best defense in the league, but their offensive has been underwhelming. And unlike, I mean, I think the thing that separates them from the other good teams in the East right now, here's the record of teams below 500. Milwaukee below 500, 13-0. Boston 10-1. Miami 11-0. Toronto 12-0. Philly 10-4. Sixers just they blow a lot of winnable games. They've had, I mean, Josh Richardson has missed the past few games with a hamstring injury. Joel Embiid's missed a few games as well. You haven't really seen their full strength lineup all that much. So I think it's just hard to read into this team, too much into this team either way right now. Yeah. But I think the version that we've seen so far is one step short of a contender.
I think that's fair. I mean, they have so much going for them, which I think is awesome. Like, for example, they limit ball movement. Opponents are ranked dead last in assists when they play them. I mean, they allow the least assists in the league. Mm-hmm. They allow the fewest rebounds in the league.
Yep.
They allow the fewest threes in the league, even the fewest three-point field goal attempts as well. Somehow, and I don't think that's there on them, but they also allow the lowest free throw percentage, which I'm not crediting that. Yeah, that's not on them, but they just have so much going for them defensively right now that, you know, that's such an effort thing. It's also a skill, obviously, but when you can be a consistent defensive unit like they are right now, night in and night out,
yeah.
You know, you automatically become a huge threat in the playoffs. So I'm definitely calling them a contender.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. For sure. I mean, it would be ridiculous otherwise. I do need them to just dial up the threes a little bit. They seem to be getting the most out of their possessions, you know, when getting to the line and all that. But I'm seeing it still, you know, a lot of these mid-range jump shots that aren't even falling. I'm not sure what, you know, their end goal here is. Like, sometimes when they should be either playing through Embiid in the post, who can get one of those high quality shots, or draw a foul, because like he gets to the line over 8 times a game just by playing 30 minutes. Or they should, you know, maybe find Tobias Harris a little bit more, but he's been struggling from the outside. It's more or less Josh Richardson and Al Horford who's been like their long range connectors, at least in the starting lineup. I don't know. I'm a little bit nervous about their offense going into the playoffs. I think you need to stretch it out just a little bit more, and I think you have too many shooters on the bench, so you really have to mix and match those starting lineups.
Yeah, I mean, again, Richardson being hurt, it's just like it's hard to get a feel for this team, because one night they'll look great. They'll beat the pants off the Miami Heat by 40, or they'll open a 26-point lead against the Utah Jazz, who, again, were supposed to be a potential finals contender heading the year. And then 2 nights later, they lose to the Washington Wizards. They seem to have, like, bought into their hype a little bit too much and think they're just going to out-talent teams. Like, that, clearly against the Wizards, they just, like, did not care for 2 quarters. And then, you know, came back, mounted a rally. Their late-game offense remains a problem. They, especially last night, it was Embiid trying to create for himself, and he turned the ball over, like, felt like on four consecutive possessions. So, you know, they still have the issue of who's the closer, but without Richardson last night, I mean, he would have made a big difference. So, a fully healthy Sixers team locked in. I think they're going to be better in the playoffs than they are in the regular season. I think of the contenders in the East, they're going to be the most infuriating during the regular season.
I have Embiid concerns.
Yeah.
I think he's, you know, I'm surprised that in year four, he's not a more efficient player. Like, he still takes a lot of weird shots. And right now it seems to be like he's hitting like a career low from the field as well. And his per minute scoring output is also a career low. Whenever I watch him play, I always feel like he leaves some sort of production out on the floor that he could just pick up and utilize.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's difficult for me to put into words.
No, I'm afraid. Yeah. This has not been the best version of Joel Embiid this year.
No.
And maybe it's similar to Nikola Jokic. Maybe he's just like kind of pacing himself for the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, we have to ask the body language experts on Twitter, of course.
Right. Yeah. No, but I would like for him, I know he said he worked on his off the dribble game coming into the season, but he just continues to be really sloppy in that regard. He has gotten better about passing out of double teams, so that
yes.
is a sign of progress. But again, it's like just because we've seen so little from the Sixers starting five in terms of their availability, it's hard to get a good feel of what their ceiling is. I think they're a clear playoff team. They have a real shot at making the conference finals. Would I feel confident picking them over the Milwaukee Bucks right now? Talk to me in 3 weeks after the Christmas Day game.
Yeah. I kind of want him to lay off the three as well. And I know that's, you know, funny coming from me, who's a three-point lover, but he's just not a good three-point shooter.
No, I think they need him to take threes just because they're spacing.
That's
so
a problem in and of itself, though.
Yeah. Well, they're always.
I mean, I understand
happen.
The need. I'm not saying he should like forego it, but some of the shots that he's jacking from three are just like out of rhythm, out of the offense, and not many. I'll say that he's dialed down that.
Yeah, I think he's been better about.
Like, yeah, he has been. I think like, last year I remember a game where he had like four off the dribble
right,
threes
like
and
Westbrook threes.
Yeah, and like you and I were DMing it, and you were just like, ah,
yeah, yeah.
No, you were so frustrated.
He has been better in that regard, but
but I don't know what it is. Like his shot is just not there. Like I don't know if it's just because he's not a natural long range shooter. Look, it's maybe silly of me. He's still shooting way over 30%, and for a 7'2" guy, that should be impressive in and of itself, but. I don't know. I want him to dominate the post so bad. This is probably what it boils down to. I look at that field goal percentage and I kind of vomit a little bit.
Oh.
I mean, that should not be 45.9. That should be 55.9.
Okay, Jim Boylan.
No, I know. But look, when you have that physical advantage he does.
I know.
I mean, we agree. You and I have agreed on this for quite a while now. This is the closest thing since Shaq.
In terms of physicality, yeah.
In terms of, that not just that, but touch.
Yeah.
Like, when he's really engaged in the post, he'll make some insane moves and insane reads. Like, he's smart down there. He's got the footwork. He's got the understanding of how to shake a guy. Like, there's so much there to like. And I understand that the post-up is usually just such a low percentage play. But is it for a guy like him, though? That's what we need to remember, is certain guys are just better at something else.
Right.
And if that's the most effective shot that he can bring, then utilize it. Like, he's going to get hacked either way down there, and he's a very good free throw shooter for someone his size.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to be a little bit more assertive.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, because he's not, you know, they're not getting tremendous offensive production out of Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Which, I don't want to say I'm disappointed, but I thought, you know, he would take a step up offensively this year.
He's been a monster defensively, though.
He has. No question. Leading the league in steals, I think, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Or very close to it.
Yeah.
At the very least. Yeah. No, he's been insane defensively. But, you know, I just – it feels like last year when he got, you know, his whatever average, like, was it 15, 16 points, that it just came in the flow of the game without, you know, he needed to assert himself all that much.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I thought he could kind of build on that. You know, he's, what, 23, 24, 23?
I think, yeah, he's still young.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's still young. I just, like, this is his third, you know, active NBA season. I just thought maybe it's time to balance that a little bit out. But I agree with you, defensively, he's been a monster.
Yeah.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Let's go to the Toronto Raptors, fourth in the East with 15-6, or I guess they're tied with the Miami Heat for third. Yeah. I buy the Raptors.
As a contender?
I think they're the third best team in the East.
I'm going to call them a pretender, but I don't love it. I don't love calling them a pretender because I love watching them play, and I think they play the right way. And I think they have so many interesting pieces on that squad.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still going to call them a pretender. They lack that, you know, that superstar. I know Pascal is just ridiculous this year, but he still is a secondary type to me. Mm. He's not, you know, the first, you know, the upper tier superstar. Hmm. Not yet. Like, it's been 21 games.
Yeah. No, I'm not ready to, like, crown him as the second coming of Kawhi, but...
Right, exactly. Like, if he does this next year as well, then we can revisit that.
Yeah.
But the supporting staff I love, like, Kyle Lowry has really been doing well this year. He missed a ton of time, like 11 games. But in the games that he's played, he's averaged over 20. Mm-hmm. Fred VanVleet, the $25 to $30 million man, apparently, is really doing, you know, the works, averaging 19, 7, and 2 steals.
Mm-hmm.
OG Anunoby is hitting his threes and playing great defense. I don't know what happened to Marc Gasol.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Yeah,
the Spanish plague, I'm guessing.
Right. No, he's just saving himself for the playoffs too.
I guess he is, because he's only making 2 shots a game despite playing 29 minutes. Yeah. It's not pretty.
No,
I'm very glad to see Norman Powell come on. That was one of the things I've been waiting on, mm-hmm, with the increased role. I love Norman Powell. He's been a huge part of that. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, defensively, rebounding wise, like, you knew what you were gonna get. And he's just been delivering. Like, he and who was it? What was there was someone else. Like, he and Stanley Johnson. Like, it was Hollis Jefferson, Stanley Johnson, who got called out before the season,
yeah,
right?
In the
preseason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, one of those guys has stepped up,
yep,
and the other is Stanley Johnson.
Right. But yeah, Hollis Jefferson, yeah, has been good. Yeah, I mean, I just think now they have the confidence too, after last year's run, where they don't have the Raptors stigma where it's like, oh, okay, they're a great regular season team, they're going to lose in the playoffs. Like, now they've been through the grindstone. So I hear you on them not having that type of top-end talent that you would necessarily want. I mean, Siakam, as you said, like, has been... Siakam's a clear all-star this year. Like,
oh, yeah. No, I mean,
question, but like,
not trying to downplay him whatsoever, right, just for the record.
Yeah, no. But I hear you. It's like, you'd like to see it for more than 21 games before you crown him. I don't know. I mean, do I think they would be favored in a series over the Milwaukee Bucks? No. But it wouldn't totally shock me if they won. It wouldn't totally shock me if they beat the Sixers in a series.
Definitely, totally shocked me if these Raptors won against the Bucks. Absolutely. It wouldn't shock me if they won against Philly necessarily, because I really don't know what to make of Philly.
Yeah.
But the Bucks, yeah, I would be shell-shocked.
All right, we'll hit the Bucks shortly. Let's get to Miami, who is tied with Toronto at third in the East.
Pretender so far. Yep. I mean, I'm sorry, I love Jimmy Butler. What they're doing right now is very, very fun. They're very entertaining. Bam Adebayo has been a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done it mostly without Justice Winslow. There's so many things there to like, but in a playoff setting, I'm not sure that they're there yet.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I mean, Jimmy has been strange. You know, you expected him to, going to a Heat team without a superstar, you expected him to just put up crazy numbers, and he's been kind of deferential, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Like, he's getting guys like Kendrick Nunn and Duncan Robinson going and giving them confidence, which should only help them in the playoffs. Goran Dragic has been great off the bench as well. But as you said, Adebayo has been, you know, like a clear most improved player candidate if Devontae Graham didn't exist. But yeah, I just don't, the playoffs just always come back to top end talent more often than not. And the Heat play hard. It's like they're similar to the Pacers in that regard. Like, you know, they're a well coached team that's going to play hard, be physical. But I just don't know, outside of Jimmy, whether they have that type of top-end talent. You know, in a close game, you're going to give the ball to Jimmy and let him cook. Great. But, can you get to the fourth quarter? Can you have it be a close game? I don't know.
Can I read you some Jimmy numbers?
Yeah.
Career high in total rebounding percentage. Mm. Career high in assist percentage. Career high in steals percentage.
Yeah.
Career high in blocks percentage. Like, he's not scoring as much as people would think.
Mm-hmm.
He's at 20 point something, I think. Let me just look it up.
Yeah,
20.1, so barely over 20. But he's doing everything else.
Yeah.
Everything. Like you said, he's just, like, he is getting this team just, like, shaken together somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the Jimmy Butler experience is like when you have shooters around him, unlike what Chicago did in 2016, which really isn't talked about enough as one of the worst summers ever for a team that just completely mismanaged, like, their top 10 superstar.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jimmy under the perfect circumstances, because you fully allow him to take over when it's necessary. But otherwise, like, you have so many weapons that he can just take a step back and utilize his pretty effective playmaking ability.
Yeah.
Like you said, in a playoff setting, you can just let him go and he'll give you 35. That's not a problem. The question is, can a guy like Duncan Robinson get his shots off in the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's hitting 3 triples a game right now. He's really been fun to watch shooting the basketball. But I wonder if those looks are going to be there, especially against a team like Milwaukee or something.
Yep.
Hey, Giannis, go out and guard Duncan Robinson. Like,
right.
Him putting the clamps down, like, Robinson's going to leave the game with like 6 points.
Yeah, exactly.
So there are definitely elements that need to improve, and but I like where they're at. I think their foundation for next season could be very, very interesting.
Definitely, yeah, they're building something very. They could be a contender as early as next season, and they're set up well to make some major noise in 2021 free agency, at which point, you know, then you start to get very nervous.
Yeah. Yep.
Boston Celtics are second in the East right now at 15-5. They have the 6th best net rating in the league. They are 4th in defense and 10th in offense. So good on both ends of the floor. Jaylen Brown has been really good this year. Definitely, anyone who was concerned about the contract, that big contract he signed right before the season started.
Just tag me, Brian.
Well, I mean, I got some jokes off too. Okay. But, you know,
I didn't get jokes off. I just wrote an article saying that was a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It was a lot of money. based on his production up until that point, but he has raised the bar for himself. He's averaging 19.9 points on 49.4% shooting. What do you think about this team's championship upside, Mort?
So I think they're in the middle
yeah.
of being a pretender and a contender.
I would agree.
I just need to see just a little bit more. I'm almost there with being, you know, on board with a contender here. I'm so close to looking at that team and saying, you know what, they're real.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jason Tatum is finally, it seems like, delivering on his promise, though.
Well,
efficiency wise, he's been a problem,
right.
But the assertiveness has been nice to see. You know, the first couple of years, well, in his second year, he began to channel his inner Kobe, which wasn't necessarily great. But
right.
he's been assertive in a different way this year. I like his approach to the game. Sometimes he's like two dumb shots away from being really good.
Yeah. Yes.
Just take those two shots away that are just completely asinine, and you're right there. Jaylen Brown has been arguably the best player for mm-hmm. the Celtics this year, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
because of the defense as well.
Right. I was gonna say Kemba probably, but if you're adding defense in the mix, yeah.
No, of course. I mean, look, Kemba is averaging just two more points mm-hmm. than Jaylen.
That's true.
Which is, you know, of course, a fair amount when you look at the grand scheme of things, and he's hitting 3.5 triples a game.
Right.
But he's not shooting the ball particularly well otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Smart has, you know, been what he always is, engaging. The injury to Gordon Hayward really hurt them.
Yeah.
In that sense, like in terms of raw talent level that they have at their disposal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see what they end up with when he comes back. You know, it was his left hand, so I didn't remember if it was his left or right hand. Given that his is left, that shouldn't affect his shooting stroke a whole lot. So maybe when he comes back, he can step right into continue being like the 40% shooter that he was during the first 8 games. If he returns and he's productive, if Tatum just takes those two dumb shots a game away and Jaylen continues doing what Jaylen has done, I mean, then I'm right there with them.
Yeah, I mean, for the East in particular, I just worry that their lack of front court depth is going to come back to bite them.
Don't slander Time Lord here.
They're going to have to go most likely through one, if not both, of Milwaukee and Philly. And that's where I think, that's why I hesitate to call them an actual contender. But I think the way you phrase it is right. I don't want to call them a total pretender either. It's just like they're right in the middle of that. Like, if everything breaks right, they could make the conference finals. I don't think they're making the finals, though.
The thing about them is if they meet Philly in a playoff series, mm-hmm. Philly isn't necessarily the greatest. They're a great defensive team, but they have struggled with point of attack players.
Mm-hmm.
The Celtics have quite a few of those who can initiate the offense and who can create for themselves as well. They have a lot of ball handlers, even at the wing. So you have to assume at that point Gordon Hayward is back and healthy.
Yeah.
So, and Jason Tatum can initiate his own offense. So you have a point of attack player in Tatum, Walker, Hayward, to some extent Jaylen Brown as well, even though he's I haven't looked up the number. I think he's a bit more assisted than he is a self-creator.
Mm-hmm.
But that could probably throw Philly off just a little bit.
Yeah.
That's going to be a series.
I'm more scared of Toronto, I think, than I am Boston.
Interesting. Okay. Well, maybe that's because Aaron Baines is no longer a Celtic.
Right, mostly.
All right, fair enough.
And Milwaukee, we again, like the Clippers, we don't need to spend a ton of time on them because they are a very clear contender, favorite in the East right now. They're 19-3. Giannis, if he's not the leading MVP candidate, he's right there at number two. They're the league's second best offense, second best defense, best net rating. Like, it's weird to say this because they only hit this level last year, but with Milwaukee, it's almost like you're on cruise control until the playoffs. Like, I know you're a legit team. You know, call me in mid-April, and we can get going here. But the rest of this is just, like, It's a formality. They're going to win 55 plus. They're going to probably going to be the top seed in the East. They are super legit.
Giannis takes 11 free throws a game in under 32 minutes.
Yeah.
And he's doing that just by being aggressive and assertive. And like, he's taking 5 threes as well. And the way that he takes them is like, it's almost like it's practice shots now, right, in the sense that he's doing it as some sort of experiment. Okay, let me see if I have this, so I have it in my bag for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, he's hitting them at almost 32%. It's not great, but it's better than he ever has before.
Yeah, especially when you consider the volume. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, he's averaging almost a point a minute.
Yeah, he's a monster.
He's averaging 13 plus rebounds, 5 plus assists. His PER is 33.9, and I think it was Zach Lowe who brought this up recently, or someone else.
Bill Simmons, I think. Like,
was it okay? Bill, yeah, I think so. That could be. That would be the highest PER of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Giannis is just outstanding. I mean, there's just nothing more to say. And this team is not just Giannis, though. I mean, you have Eric Bledsoe, who's been playing very well. He's taking a step back recently, but he's been playing well. Brook Lopez is blocking everything.
Mm-hmm.
Wesley Matthews. Jesus. You know, he's not Malcolm Brogdon. We have to recognize that, but he's still a long-range shooter.
Mm-hmm.
He spreads the floor. He demands attention from the outside. There's just... And they keep throwing bodies at you, much like the Clippers. Like, you can throw in Dante DiVincenzo, Pat Connaughton, Sterling Brown, you know, Ersan. Kyle Korver, maybe not in a playoff context because he'll be murdered defensively, but they have so much depth.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's inevitable that it's going to be the Bucks and Clippers, really.
I if you're placing a bet right now, that's the safe one for sure. It's a long season and weird stuff can happen, so I wouldn't bet on any team, frankly.
No, but again, that's because we assume health. Right, we have to assume health. Like, to, you know, knock on wood, that doesn't happen. But like, tomorrow, Giannis could break his leg, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God! If that happens, Twitter, do not come after me. Right. I knocked on wood here, saying that it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
We have to assume health.
Yep. Yeah. I think this is a good place for us to wrap up. Long story short, Bucks and Clippers are the favorites, but there are a couple teams in both conferences that can at least make some noise and make life tough on them heading into the playoffs and throughout their playoff run. So, as promised, this is still a wide open season, although not necessarily as wide open as we expected. You know, I don't think it... I wanted to do this because, like, you know, coming into the year is like, oh, like 8 to 10 teams could win the title. I don't know that it's 8 to 10 anymore. I think it's like 5 at most, 6 maybe, but...
Yeah, it's still fun.
Yeah, of course. So thank you all for listening. Please follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. We're now being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort.
You too, Brian. Remember how proud we were of ourselves the last podcast when we held it to, like, under an hour and 15?
Yep, we done screwed up.
Yep, this is an hour and 25, because of course we did. Oh, we had to make up for it.
Of course.
Oh, my God. We're horrible.
We'll be better next time, listeners.
Well, maybe not.